Amoya Das. Ramapad Swami is giving the class today.
Jaya Radha Madhava Kunjabi Hari. Jaya Radha Madhava Kunjabi Hari. Kunjabi Hari. Gopi Jana Ballabha Girivara Dhari. Gopi Jana Ballabha Girivara Dhari. Jasodanandana Brajajanaranjana Jasodanandana Brajajanaranjana Jamuna Tiravana Jadi Jamuna Tiravana Chadi Jaya Radha Madhava Kunjabi Hari Radha Madhava Kunjabi Jai Radha Madhava Kunjabi Hari Kunjabi Gopi Jana Ballabha Girivara Dhari Gopi Jana Ballabha Girivara Dhari Jasodanandana Brajajanaranjana Jasodanandana Brajajanaranjana Jamuna Tiravana Chadi Jamuna Tiravana Chadi Jai Radha Madhava Kunjabi Hari Jai Radha Madhava Kunjabi Hari Jai Om Vishnupad Paramahansa Parivajakacharya Jaya Astatara Satasi Srimad His Divine Grace Esi Bhaktivedanta Swami Shri Prabhupada Ki Ananta Koti Vaishnavrinda Ki Gaur Premanandi. Okay. Looks like it's Canto 3, Chapter 16, Text 27, yes? Correct. Okay, thank you. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Narayanam Namaskritya. Naram Chaiva Narottamam. Devim Saraswatim Vyasam. Tato Jayamudirayat. Brahmavacha Atate Munayo Drishtva Nayanananda Bhajanam Vaikuntham Tad Adishtanam Vikuntham Cha Swayam Prabhum Atate Munayo Drishtva Nayanananda Bhajanam Vaikuntham Tad Adishtanam Vikuntham Cha Swayam Prabham. Bhajanam Vaikuntham Tad Adishtanam Atate Munayo Drishtva Vaikuntham Tad Adishtanam Vikuntham Cha. Ladies, Vikuntham Cha Swayam Prabham Atha Te Munayo Drishtva Nayanananda Bhajanam Vaikuntham Tad Adishtanam Vikuntham Cha Swayam Prabham. Brahma Vacha, Lord Brahma said, Atta, now, Te, those, Munayaha, sages, Drishtva, after seeing, Nayana, of the eyes, Ananda, pleasure, Bhajanam, producing Vaikuntham, the Vaikuntha planet, Tat Adishtanam, of him, Adishtanam, the abode, Vikuntham, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Cha, and Swayam Prabham, self-illuminating. Translation, Lord Brahma said, after seeing the Lord of Vaikuntha, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, in the self illuminated Vaikuntha planet, the sages left that transcendental abode, purport. The transcendental abode of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, as stated in Bhagavad Gita and confirmed in this verse, is self-illuminated. In Bhagavad Gita, it is said that in the spiritual world, there's no need of sun, moon, or electricity. This indicates that all the planets there are self-illuminated, self-sufficient, and independent. Everything there is complete. Lord Krishna says that once one goes to that Vaikuntha planet, he never returns. The inhabitants of Vaikuntha never return to the material world, but the incident of Jai and Vijay was a different case. They came to the material world for some time, and they returned to Vaikuntha. Om Agyana Timarandasya Karanjana Salakaya Chakshoda Meditam Jena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha. The verse and the purport invite a topic that I don't want to go into. The fall of the jiva. And then there's this side, and then there's that side. But it's plenty clear, isn't it? So in the case of the exception is pointed to repeatedly in scripture and the writings of our acharyas, etc. There are exceptions, and one of those exceptions is this one. And the exception is not just short term, because that's at the conclusion. They came to the material world for some time, and then they returned to Vaikuntha. And that's from the previous verse and purport as well, for some time. And more importantly, or more specifically, it was ordained, or it was decided, or it was approved. Because, you know, there's the rule, then there's the exception to the rule, and Jai and Vijay are exception to the rule for a reason. And I don't know what if in previous classes the reason was discussed, but since I don't know, I'll discuss. There's a very intricate network of reason. And one of those reasons had to do with not only did Jai and Vijay guard the seventh gate of Vaikuntha, to prevent people from, unqualified people from entering. Another time, they were guarding as the Lord's chamber where he wanted to take rest. Now, the Lord doesn't need to take rest, but he wanted to take rest. So he was going to take rest. And he told, or gave an instruction to Jai and Vijay, while I'm resting, don't let anyone in. I don't want to be disturbed. Yes, sir. No one will come in. And then the goddess of fortune, Lakshmi, wanted to see the Lord. And Jai and Vijay said, sorry, the instruction of the Supreme Lord was not to let anyone in. So you can wait till he has awakened, and then you can come see. So she was miffed. She didn't like that. What? So after some time, he woke. Of course, there's no time as we know time, but he woke. And she came and she complained. Do you know what these two fellows did? The goddess of fortune can't enter in the presence of her eternal consort, Lord Narayana. What's this? And he explained, well, I instructed them. They were just following an instruction, and they didn't let you enter because they were following my instruction. And she replied, well, they should be punished. And when the goddess of fortune wants that somebody is punished, guess what? And so another dimension is, part two, Jai and Vijay being intimate associates and servants of Narayana, they understood. Narayana has a side of him or an aspect of him. He likes virya, he likes confrontation, like combat. But there's no one here that's fit for being in opposition to him. And so they didn't go to him and say, but they prayed, if you so desire, we can do that service. If you so desire, we can do that service. So that's a nice prayer, if you so desire. And if not, then it's not going to happen anyways. So Lakshmi, their prayer, and then it was a setup for Jai and Vijay to not let the Kumaras in, and the Kumaras were miffed, and so they cursed Jai and Vijay. You're not fit to be in Vaikuntha. So you can leave Vaikuntha, you can come back, but you have to leave Vaikuntha either one of two ways, and they chose the come back sooner way. That was three demons, plus it fit their being able to take the position. So that's a little background behind this is ordained. This was ordained by me. This is the parting words to the previous verse, to the four Kumaras before they left. Let me read the previous verse. O Brahmanas, know that the punishment you inflicted on them was originally ordained by me, and therefore they will fall to a birth in a demonic family, but they will be firmly united with me in thought through mental concentration intensified by anger, and they will return to my presence shortly. Not completely shortly, but relatively. Because there in Vaikuntha, there's no passage of time anyways. So what's shortly? There's no time as we know it. But when one comes into this material atmosphere, then there's time as we know it. So how do we know the time that we don't know? How do we know what eternal time is? We just have to wait. Or we can hear from authority, and how can we get our mind around that which has no beginning and end, or eternal? Well, by sound vibration, one can be made aware, at least conceptually, but how to fit that concept into a mind that only knows past, present, future time. So it requires purification, and the purification includes going beyond past, present, and future time and entering into the eternal realm. And there are different processes for that, but the primary and permanent process is the process of bhakti. Because that's the platform of devotional service, it's the platform of being connected with the Supreme Lord. It's an eternal position. Svalpam apyasya dharmasya trayate mahatobayat. Even a little devotional service, it's credit to the one who renders service to the bhakta. It's eternal. And for those of us that are quite familiar with the territory of past, present, and future time, it's hard to process what that means. I mean, we can say yes, it's eternal, but then the realization of eternality, sat, chit, ananda, the realization of that is likened to the rising of the sun in the morning, and it's gradual. But then when there's full sun, then there's no night in the eternal realm. Although there's no night, that the Supreme Lord can arrange anything he likes to arrange, including nights, including moons, not just light, self-luminous. That's this verse 27. The transcendental abode of the Supreme Personality of Godhead is self-illuminated. So that which is self-illuminated, there's no need of sunlight, moon, light, or electricity from Bhagavad Gita, but it's self-illuminated. At the same time, because the Personality of Godhead has unlimited and inconceivable potencies, he can make it night, or he can take rest. He can perform pastimes as if, important phrase, as if human-like. No, when the activities of the Personality of Godhead are manifested in this realm, it's as if. And particularly the forms of the Lord that appear in this world, the avatar forms of the Lord that appear in human-like form, activities are performed as if. And certainly very, very charming are the two, Rama and Krishna, as if. So there's a human-like dimension, and they're attractive because they're the unlimited powers of the Supreme Lord are manifested. And so not only the Aishvarya of the as-if human personality, but then feelings and exchanges and words and pastimes as if. And then in that as if, there's no limit. There's no limit. There's no limit. And what's that that has no limit? Well, it's inconceivable, because everything we know has a limit, beginning and an end. And there's something that has no beginning and no end. There's no limit. The unlimited and inconceivable potencies of the Personality of Godhead. I mean, here's two examples that come to mind, just quickly. When Lord Brahma, this is Brahma Vimohan Leela, chapter 13 of Canto 10, Brahma wanted to match his power. He has a lot of power. He's empowered, Srishti Shakti, he's empowered to build the universe, not just a rocket ship or a Tesla or a computer, but the universe. with all of its unlimited, literally unlimited details and details and details and details and details. You know, Prabhupada would say, the scientists, I challenge them, let them make one mosquito. A mosquito that can fly any direction, and then it can reproduce itself. Let them make one mosquito. And how many mosquitoes are there? So who's the better creator, the scientist or the creator of this universe? And Brahma created it. He built it, so he knows all the intricacies of a universe. To build it, you have to know the intricacies. So what's the capacity of his power, creative power? What's the capacity of his intelligence? Plus, he's the knower of all the Vedas. He's the original knower of all the Vedas. Like, he's way up there. And he wanted to match his power against Krishna's power and see what would happen. So Krishna knew, and Krishna blew his mind. And with all the details of what he did. But, you know, the unlimitedness of the unlimited is unlimited. Whereas Brahma, vast but limited, because it's in the material sphere. His powers are not spiritual. His powers are material. Super, you know, elevated and intricate and, you know, etc. Detailed, comprehensive, complete, but on the material plane. There's so many activities of Krishna one can point to. You know, that I was going to refer to one that's from Brihat Bhagavatamrita. You know, Mother Jasoda looking inside Krishna's mouth twice to see if he's, one was to see if he had eaten dirt, or another was just he yawned, little baby in the lap of his mother, and he yawned. And she looked inside his mouth and she saw what she saw, the universe, in the body of a little baby that's on her lap. So, what is there? There's no limit. Is there a limit? There's no limit. And the range knows no limit. Just a little sharing, because during this visit I've been speaking on the Kali Leela. Very interesting detail. Here's an interesting detail. It's from Brihat Bhagavatamrita. In the Kali Leela, someone pointed this out to me yesterday. When Krishna started dancing on the hoods of the Kaliya serpent, verse number 27, you can go, when you go home, you can check it out. Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur explains the verse number 27 of chapter 16 is that the demigods and the apsaras and gandharvas and kinnaras and all the musicians, and they started to accompany Krishna's dancing to play all their musical instruments and sing. So it was just like, it was a nice concert. Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur comments that before the musicians started making the music, Krishna was making sounds as if he was a musical instrument. He's gifted. He can make sounds like he's a musical instrument. So the word that Vishwanath uses is tatai, tatai. Tatai, tatai. Indicating, this is in his commentary, that in the future, Kaliya, you and I will meet once again. And the purport says Krishna was looking at the gopis, and you and I will meet again, this dancing accompanied by music. It will happen again. So it's intimating to either of two things, either the future rasa dance or rasa dances at different times, because in the lila that's in the 10th canto, there's no rasa dance, but we'll meet again. However, in Brihat Bhagavatamrita, according to Sanatana Goswami, the composition and the commentary, after Kaliya was driven away at the end of chapter 17, he came back. Kaliya came back. And then the whole series, there's a long section in Brihat Bhagavatamrita. What did Krishna do when Kaliya came back? He was upset. But he didn't want the cowherd boys to come. There's another reason, because he wanted to have rasa dance with the gopis on the hoods of the Kaliya serpent. But doesn't say that right away. He didn't inform the cowherd boys. He just went to the Kaliya Hrada, or the Kaliya Lake, and he did the same set of things that he did the first time around, did second time around. Started splashing, and Kaliya came and got real envious and tried to attack Krishna and the whole thing. And Krishna jumped up on his hoods and started dancing. And as he was dancing, it was difficult for Kaliya to raise his hoods because, you know, whenever he would raise his hood, Krishna would dance on that hood. And then dancing, the gopis came and they saw Krishna's dancing. So Krishna extended his arm, the commentary specifically says, because he has unlimited potencies, he extended his arm and brought the gopis onto the hoods of the Kaliya serpent. And the hoods of the Kaliya serpent became a dancing stage for rasa dance. Tatai, tatai. We will meet again. Both the gopis and Kaliya, we will meet again. Now, that's not in the Bhagavatam, but it's in Brihat Bhagavatamrita, and Sanatana Goswami isn't, you know, a fiction writer. So we can take it that it's his realization that this happened. And, you know, very interesting. So, and what, is there anything that can't happen? You can't find something that can't happen because Krishna says unlimited and inconceivable potency, so anything can happen. But we don't just say anything can happen and then make up fiction, because anything can happen. But when we do hear the authorized version of what Krishna does, it's quite amazing. It's quite amazing. And so, now back to the verse at hand. Yesterday's verse, Krishna authorized, or it was not just authorized, it was ordained by him that these two giant Vijay would descend to the material world, which is the exception. And there's the rule. And the rule is the rule because Krishna makes the rules. And Krishna can make the exception. And somebody else can't make the exception by philosophizing something or something or something. Just there's a rule. And then the position of the planets of the spiritual world being self-luminous. I'll read the verse again. After seeing the Lord of Vaikuntha, the Supreme Personality Godhead, in the self-illuminated Vaikuntha planet, it's right in the verse, the sages left that transcendental abode. Self-illuminated or self-effulgent. And while it's self-effulgent and self-illuminated, there's no need of sunlight, moonlight, electricity, there can also be day and night, no problem. But it's not day and night as we know, because day and night as we know has another cause, a cosmic event orchestrated by the material energy. And then the spiritual energy is the original from which the material energy is a reflection. So it's fascinating. And, you know, a material scientist will go, oh, silly. You people believe in fairy tales. And such an attitude of not acknowledging the unlimitedness of the unlimited is like Lord Brahma. Or it's a much darker version of the when Lord Brahma realized the unlimitedness of the unlimited. Not that he didn't know, because he's the knower of the Vedas, but now he just had a direct experience. So what's the difference between knowing the Vedas and having a direct experience? Well, you know, we have some idea of what the Vedas say. And we can say yes, because the Vedas say. And it's good. And then there's beyond good, to where there's the direct experience. And so there's the sadhana, there's the sadhya, stages of bhakti. And the Bhagavatam, I'm just going to end with this, the Bhagavatam wants to take us into both realms. By sound, that there's a concept that can be mind-bending or mind-boggling or, you know, a stretch beyond imagination, a transcendental realm. And by hearing the transcendental realm or transcendental features of the personality of God in its various incarnations that appear in this world. I mean, Lord Tortoise appeared for the purpose of the churning of the milk ocean because he had an itch on his back. And so the Mundra mountain was placed on his back so he could get an itch scratch. How does a turtle going to scratch his back? Put Mundra mountain on your back and use it as a pivot. You take care of your itch. I mean, it's amazing, and it's not fiction. And he can do whatever he likes. He can do whatever he likes, and there's no limit to what he likes and what he can do. You know, and one of the main functions is to stimulate loving affection and loving feelings in his devotees, in addition to other things. And one who reads the Srimad Bhagavatam and hears the narrations within Srimad Bhagavatam, that's where that sound vibration takes one into how wonderful is my Krishna, who's the source of all these incarnations and all these activities and great devotees, and he's the source of all of that. And one can directly enter into that mystery through sound. That's the purpose of the Vedas, to know Krishna through loving Krishna and serving Krishna. And if that conclusion is eclipsed or pushed to the side or not remembered, then the puzzle is more than the message. But one can't understand the Bhagavatam by having a big brain or being, you know, like really good intellectual. It's just not how Bhagavatam is understood. But if the devotion is aroused by sound vibration, then at least to some extent, because we're tiny, so to some extent there can be some profound appreciation and realization of the unlimitedness of the unlimited. And he can make rules and he can break rules, no problem. And that's this pastime. And the four Kumaras are satisfied. Then they departed. Okay, so that's my thoughts this morning on the verse from the Srimad Bhagavatam. Any comments or questions? Yeah, Panchagoda. When I came in and you were leading Kirtan, it was like, wow, Vrindavan.
So Krishna arranged this whole conflict between the four Kumaras and Jai and Vijay. He authorized that,
yes,
for his fighting spirit, but it seems as though devotees having to take birth as such demons that tortures other devotees, what to speak of Krishna's mother and father and killing all the children. Is that just, wouldn't it be better if they just took birth as devotees and the same thing as being in Vaikuntha, even if it took longer, but as demons you kind of, it seems like you cause a lot of anxiety to all the other Vaishnavas in the surrounding Krishna's Leela. So how do we learn by that example?
Well, several things. One is, it's not like every demon, there's divine and demoniac nature, right, from Bhagavad Gita. There are different dispositions towards the Supreme Person and divine and demoniac nature, and there are degrees of both. So that's just part of the material world. It's not like, just, you know, that's a response to your question. It's not like every demon descended from Vaikuntha. They were all exceptions, all the demons. They're just part of this place, divine and demoniac nature. Now, the heart of the question is, why, you know, what's going on here? Why would Krishna subject to his devotees by sanctioning two personalities who were by all regards except for the personality of Godhead invincible? And they tormented and they did what they did. So how can you rationalize, or how can you, that seems to be what your question is, how can you justify all of that, putting the devotees into such difficulty? That's your question. Yes?
Yes.
Okay. It's a good question. There's a few things. One of those few things is, when a devotee is put into difficulty, and then the personality, it seems like the difficulty is unstoppable, and then the Supreme Lord comes and removes the obstacle, like the demon, then there's a deeper, you know, the difficulty in enhances or accentuates the shelter-taking spirit of the devotee, and then when the difficulty or the demon is taken away, because there is only one person that can take away certain demons, prayers and prayers and prayers, and the demon is taken away, then there's glorification of Lord Nrsingadev, or, you know, the other person, Lord Ramachandra, who kills the demons. And they're extolled. The personality of Godhead is extolled. So, back to your question. Yeah, but in between, there's hardship, and you know, who knows, death or terror or you know, etc. Allowing the devotee to be put into difficulty and then removing the source of that difficulty, that's understandable. For me, that's understandable. It's not like nice from the material point of view, but it's completely understandable. I mean, like, yeah. Demons do those types of things. And where do demons get the ability to do those types of things between the divine and demoniac nature? There has to be some sanction. Not a blade of grass moves. You know, all the good qualities of the devotee and the bad qualities of the demon have the same source. And then demons do bad stuff. So how can the Lord sanction bad stuff, aside from sending someone from Vaikuntha? Just like, how do you have a setup where the divine are harassed by the demoniac? And not just harassed, but killed, and so forth and so on. You know, bad things happen to good people? You know, that whole question. Is the nature of the material world.
Maharaj?
Yeah.
But aren't demons also originally devotees and Vaishnavas that fell from a spiritual kingdom and now they're taking on demonic qualities? Well, so what's the difference between them and Jai and Vijay?
Here comes the fall of the Jiva question.
No, that was just, it's a hidden question.
Well, all living entities are Krishna's eternal part and parcel. Now, the living entities that are in the demoniac category, the material world, where they come from? Is it once upon a time they were in the spiritual world and they fell, or they're eternally in that position? Because the verse says people don't fall from the spiritual world. There's no fall of the jiva. So it's the fall of the jiva question that you're asking.
You don't have to answer that. You didn't want to answer that anyway. So you don't have to answer that part of it, but I'm just saying that somehow, through all the readings and teachings and lectures, that somehow we've misused our independence.
Yes,
and we're covered over and forced to come to the material world. So go back home. We have to clear that covering, obviously. So I'm just saying that anyone, even who developed demonic qualities, they originally had some purity before they came to the demonic infiltration.
It's a chronology question. You're back to the chronology question. That, you know, once upon a time. And then something happened, some time passed, and boop, here we are, demon and demoniac territory. And there's demons doing demon things. The demons are like us. We also misused our free will, but we're trying to be good. And they're not trying to be good. They're just misusing their free will. We're all misusing our free will. So then how did it all begin? That's the question. That's the question.
But the good news is that Prahlad forgave his father so much that even despite all the atrocities, that please forgive him. And even Vasudeva and Yashoda, when Kamsa was repenting, they all said, okay, even though I killed all your children, this was all destiny. So it maybe even shows examples how devotees can be very tolerant, compassionate, and loving. I'm giving you a quick out.
Yeah. It's a nice topic to ponder. No. I like Bhaktivinoda Thakur's explanation, which essentially says The question itself is misleading because it places the whole situation as if it's an event in time. It is not an event in time. Not an event in time. There's events that aren't in time. What's that? It's an event that's not in time. We only know events in time, but what's the divine and demoniac? What's that all about? And then there's the withdrawal of the creation, and then again the manifestation of creation. And with the manifestation of creation, there's the divine and demoniac. It's just the nature of the place. And there's living entities that populate those two categories, the divine and demoniac. So there's the reciprocation on the part of the Supreme Lord who sanctions, but to place the desire that then gets sanctioned as an event in time, as Bhaktivinoda Thakur explains, it's misleading. So there's this misuse of free will. And don't place it in an event as an event in time, because it's not an event in time. It's an ontological, not a chronological event. You're enthusiastic. You give this man the microphone.
Hari Bol Maharaj,
Hi,
very
Bol.
Nice.
Hi, Bol.
Very nice, and welcome back to Alachua.
Thank you very much.
So I was thinking that these demonic acts were of such magnitude that it requires the Lord or His incarnation to come down, to descend, because nobody else could really handle those kind of acts, Brahma or Shiva or nobody else. And it requires the Lord. So in that way, you know, the living entities realize their dependency on the Lord and for the glorification of the Lord and His incarnation. I was thinking on that angle. I don't know if...
That's a nice answer. Here's a question to your answer. Before the Lord descends to mitigate the problem, what about the havoc and the pain, suffering, misery, death, and all the bad stuff that happens because... You know, he's making an arrangement so he can descend and protect everybody. That's a spirit of the question. How can it be sanctioned aside from falling from giant Vijay and the three births that they did? Just the whole principle of demoniac, and he's sanctioning it because otherwise it can't happen. You know, okay, he appears and dismisses the super-duper demons. But then there's demons. You know, the history is filled with demons. The world is filled with demons. Just read the newspaper. Or read your news, not newspaper. It's part of the place. And then new faces take their place. The old ones are gone and the new ones come, and it still goes on the same program. So how can it be sanctioned? Devotees are put into difficulty. I mean, I had a little conversation with Niranjan Maharaj and I'm trying to remember the name of the devotee who's the Ukrainian devotee. What's his name? Huh? Yeah, speak it louder. Achyutapriya, thank you. Thank you. You know, there are devotees that have lost their lives. Not a big surprise. But, you know, because demons are doing what demons do. You know, you want to add to this? Go ahead. Yes, take the microphone. Yeah. You don't want the microphone? You do want the microphone. Okay.
Hare Krishna, thank you for coming back. You mentioned that Krishna, he's dancing on the hoods, and then he makes these sounds with his mouth like instrument, tatai, tatai.
Yeah.
So many of the Goswami Sanskrit books, they mention this, and sometimes they give it more elaborate mentions of the mantras.
Oh, really?
So Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami says in the Govinda Lila Amrita, just a little excerpt. Tai ta 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 ya, ta 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 ya, drimiki drimiki drimiki, triki 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 ta. So Krishna, he plays the lead drum with his mouth, and then when the gopis join him, they have different roles like a percussion orchestra. So
Govinda Lila Amrita, that's the source?
Yeah, those mantras are mentioned there, and more mantras too. Like when the gopis join him, they form the background rhythm. They go ta drik ta drik drik ta drik ta drik drik. And meanwhile, all of their bangles and their anklets are going junina junja, junina junja, junina junja, junina junja. So that's just an example of tatai and how the Goswamis have expanded it.
Okay. Thank you for that elaboration. Someone else had their hand. You want? Go ahead. Sri Vrindavan.
Hare Krishna Guru Maharaj. I was just wondering about the, like you were talking about the sleep.
About the which?
The sleep, Lord Vishnu and his sleep, and that he sleeps with Lord Narayan or Vishnu. How do we understand that from Shayana Ekadashi, the 4 months of Chaturmasya?
Say it slower. How do we understand?
The 4 months of Chaturmasya, from Shayana Ekadashi to Uthana Ekadashi, we understand that the Lord is sleeping. And so.
Why not?
How do we understand?
Why not?
He can sleep and still manage the entire affairs of the universe. And
no problem.
But he's sleeping.
Look, if
correct?
You have unlimited potencies, you can do both. You can sleep and manage at the same time by his potencies. Okay. Looks like that's it. Srila Prabhupada ki jai.